I think so. I think it's the people that God promised Abraham. Yes. Yeah, and I think a lot of them are presently in the new state of Israel, but they're all over. But, Brunner, in addition to these grace texts, God does it all, there are our responsibility texts, and look at them. These are the main ones that I've thought of. Enter Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the next to the last warning in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many, look at that, many are going to take that road to destruction. That's what Jesus says. For the gate is narrow. Christ is the only way of salvation, is one way of putting that. And the gate is narrow and the road is rough. Think of discipleship. And that leads to life. And few find that gate to life. Jesus said that. So, Brunner, don't get too universal or you've broken the narrow gate one. Brunner, don't be too narrow gated or you lose God's, I don't want any to perish. And I find myself caught between these two. And listen to 1 Corinthians 10. This is the main passage where Paul, who's the main teacher of predestination in the Bible, he has this passage in 1 Corinthians 10. And this sort of, he's going to save all of Israel through the Red Sea and out in the wilderness. But now listen, this is Paul, the predestinarian, talking. I do not want you to be unaware, Corinthian brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under that cloud and all passed through the Red Sea, and all were baptized into Moses in that cloud and in the sea. And all of them, under all's here, ate the same spiritual food, the manna from heaven, and all drank the same the water from the rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. So there's God's all, but most, not a few, but, and then listen to this next paragraph. Now these things occurred to the Israelites as examples for us, Christians, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, quote, the people sat down to eat and to drink and they rose up to play, end quote. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. That all happened in those 40 years in the wilderness. You know those stories. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed. That first paragraph has all. Now it's some, and I've underlined those. And here's this conclusion. These things happened to the Israelites to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us Christians on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think, Corinthian or Hollywood Christian, or Bible teacher even, so if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. But here's a promise. No testing has ever overtaken any of you that is not common to every human being. God is faithful. And listen to this promise. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with every testing, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. That's a responsibility text. The narrow gate one is a responsibility text. God so loved the world, and he doesn't want any to perish. He will all, these are universal grace texts. Yes. Okay, here it is. Here it is. So if you think you're standing, watch out you do not fall. No testing is overtaking you that is not common to all human beings. God is faithful. He will not let any of us here be tested beyond our ability. But with the testing, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. Kevin King.
Yeah. Is that 2 Corinthians?
This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay,
yeah, verses 1 to 12. Yes.
Hi, sir. How are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well, and I thank you for asking. Although I'm not sure. How am I doing? am I one of the all? Yeah. What's going to happen at Judgment Day? So will you admit we've got both these kinds of texts, big wide ones and narrow gate ones, and we've got to read both? Kathy and then Scott. Yes, Kathy. Oh.
That strangles our breath.
I don't get the time frame point.
Okay, we live in a 24-hour time frame because God made time so we human beings could exist. Right. That's why we have it. That's why we exist. We have time.
All right.
But when Jesus comes, and the great day of judgment is there, and we all appear before the Lord. We don't want to say that God's saving work will be over until we each face the Lord sitting on the judgment seat.
I think that's right.
Thank you.
There's going to be a judgment according to works even at the end.
According to our works.
Whoa.
And who knows what that is all going to say. But the main thing to me on predestination, and you know we have both tied ourselves in knots, not just this week. It's a knot-tying existential thing that happens all the time because it's such a hard question.
Yes.
And it's why I am so grateful for Karl Barth and for his, the way he wrestles through this is to, Jesus Christ is the one man, one God predestined. God predestined his son Jesus to be God for us, God come down to save us, and then he predestined Jesus to be the man who could bring us back to the Lord.
Yes.
And that double predestination I embrace with my whole heart.
Yes.
In terms of electing for good, some for to be positive instruments in this world, in this time frame, and some to be negative instruments, I am convinced, as much as a human being with, God knows, you know, but according to this text, and in Karl Barth's wrestling with it, we have to understand everything is in the mind of God. And God, we're all the same lump. He created the same lump in the Garden of Eden. We chose to listen to that bad guy that came around. So we fell. The whole lump fell. So how is God going to get his story across? He's going to write his drama using us, his creatures, as his playbill. Some of us, unfortunately, it's too bad. Some get to play negative parts, like Pharaoh and Judas, and who wants to be that? But they have to play that in order to make God's hatred of sin and his grace that comes flowing onto some
sinners,
of us.
To sinners,
for nothing we bring, nothing bad they've done any worse than anybody else. These are two bunches of actors in God's almighty drama to show it's all of him, and he wants everybody. And we're not God, so we are not universalists. No, never. But it gives us grounds for an enormous hope at the judgment.
Well, okay, Kathy, preach it. And did I see a hand here? Yes. Bennett, Don Bennett.
Do you believe in free will, Don?
No.
Oh, you don't?
I don't believe in free will, Don.
Oh, okay, that's all. I think the whole thing revolves around that.
Yeah, and that's why Luther's bound will, I think we're all sinners with bound wills, and unless the Lord unbinds us, we can't make a free decision. So I theologically, I can't believe in free will. Glenn?
And then Scott, he got missed last time. Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb on this because I'm going to pick up what Kathy said, and it seems like there is definitely a distinction between the Father and the Son. And actually, the Son even said, I don't know the end times, only the Father knows this.
He does say
so,
that.
So he's actually saying there's limitations to what he had. And then when you come to Paul's statement to Timothy, it says, God our Savior. Is he referring to just Christ, that aspect of God? God our Savior desires that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
That's God the Father.
That is God the Father?
Yeah, it is.
That's
God. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's tough, folks. Scott, did you have something?
Yeah. You were going back and forth between this juxtaposition of who is it the elect and who isn't the elect. And
yes.
Does God decide who's the elect?
I think
and
so.
And grant to them? Well, we're also forgetting about the juxtaposition between the law versus grace by faith as well. You were talking about the narrow gate, and I disagree with you on that point about the narrow gate, like only the few can get through.
Yes.
And where I'm saying that's pre-resurrection, that's pre-crucifixion. The law was that narrow gate. You know, Christ's resurrection.
You don't think that applies after the resurrection, that verse?
No, that gate was knocked down. The wall surrounding that gate was knocked down. The curtain was rent in two.
It was
by the resurrection. So
that's strong.
Grace
it's strong.
Through faith expands the elect, expands who God chooses. All of a sudden, it says, "No, you know, follow the law. That's only the people who are going to get in. No, just have faith." Just believe, and you're in.
I like your emphasis on grace. I don't think that...
But Paul was emphasizing grace at the very beginning
sure,
of
sure.
this chapter.
But Jesus is pretty authoritative, and I think he was saying that to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, go by the narrow gate. So I still think we got
to... He's warning. To me, that's a warning that, no, you can't do it without me.
Okay, I like your Christocentricity. Gabriel?
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Now, in free will, wouldn't it make more sense that God wants everyone to come to heaven and everyone, as we are all forgiven?
Yeah, he does want everyone.
So why would anyone be chosen over anyone else?
Yeah, exactly. That's what Paul's wrestling with. And we're trying to come to terms with that in this class. How, Lucy, you're going to solve the whole thing for us right here.
No, I'm going to try to explain the narrow gate. You know, the Christian life, like you say... You want to be a Christian, you
yes.
want to tell, you know, it's
yes.
not easy.
Yes, you're right.
I think that's what the narrow gate was referring to as an analogy.
Yes.
To be a Christian, you have to have all these responsibilities.
Yes.
Whereas the wide gate is, you know, hey, do Live whatever you want.
Yeah, God is love. He's not going to damn anybody. Everybody's going to go to heaven.
And according to that text, majority prefer... You know, they don't want to be the
no.
tough and be Christian.
No.
You want to be a Christian? Like you say, you know, it's tough.
Yes.
That's the narrow gate example.
Good. I hope Scott was listening to Lucy right there. Oh, dear Lord. It's not an easy subject, folks. Predestination, free will, human responsibility, God's love. You know what? And then I'll stop with this. I have not yet put together these two poles. Justification by faith alone, apart from any good works. Last judgment according to our works. What? I am so grateful. I believe right now, and most of you do, that God loves you and me, not because there's anything lovable, we've done anything deserving. It's sheer grace. But at judgment day, I am taught by Paul and others, and Jesus' narrow gate thing, I think, too, I am going to be judged according to whether I really lived a life of faith. Can the rest of you hold those two together?
He makes such a great Catholic.
Yeah, I would make a great Catholic, says Scott in the front row. Well, yes, Pope Francis is a saint. yes, I don't know if this one works. Scott, Rick. Does it work? Rick Penner.
The Westminster Confession of Faith is really explicit and narrow.
Narrow, it is, isn't it?
It's simple, and Paul meant that. He would have said that.
Yes.
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yes.
I think he deliberately wanted this tension. He doesn't want it resolved.
He wants to have this confusion our class is experiencing.
It's not confusion, it's a tension.
It's not confusion, it's a tension, he says.
Yeah.
What? Okay, tell me.
He deliberately does not resolve it, like, one way or another.
Where is our class? Do you like the emphasis on the grace and love, or predestination, or free will? Where are you? How many are predestinationists? How many are free willists? It's about half and half. Okay. Yes, brother, your full name too.
Bradley Stephen Harris. I'm wondering if we can be predestined to make certain choices. Like if you say you know someone very intimately, there's times when you can say, I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
So it's almost, and then what about the group responsibility? Do we get there as a people? You know, we talk about the sins of the father
yes.
being passed on to the third and fourth generation.
Yes.
That kind of disease, you know, infects the whole kind
yes.
of, there.
Yeah, you know, that is interesting. A lot of things he's saying about groups. We tend to think individualistically, but Israel, the Gentiles, and so on, and it's we're not only individual persons, we're community, aren't we? And I thank you for raising that point. Yes, your first name is?
Serena.
Serena, yes.
I think that I believe that predestination and free will go hand in hand. Perhaps we're all predestined to come to a certain point in life or become something in life, and that's what our predestination is. However, there's 10 different ways to get there,
right.
And whether those are in faith or in line with what God's plan is or the right versus the wrong, that's where the free will comes into play, and you can get to the same spot by doing a million different things, but is it the right way that you've done it?
I like this putting together. Here's the term I prefer to free will, and I bet you'll buy it too. Human responsibility. I think we are responsible, and we're going to be held responsible. I do believe in that, and that what Serena is saying. I also believe that God is God and can do what he wants, and I think I've got to hold both together, individual human responsibility and divine sovereignty. It's not easy to put the two together, is it? But I do think we've got to keep both, and I appreciate the fact that you've been brave, several of you, enough to say, even though the teacher leans in the predestinarian direction, I think you have a point on human responsibility. One more back here. Okay. All right, Caesar. You sum it all up for us, Caesar, all right?
Yes. I try to use the KISS rule. You know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
When we step in front of the throne of grace, it will be, and God looks at you. He will not look at your face. He will not look at your eyes. He will not look at anything except the content of your heart. And if it is in the right direction, if it's toward him, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is written, enter in, you know. And it's not so that it's not about what you do. You know, people run around Christmas and they do all these little things and they go, oh, I feel so good because I did that. It's not about that. It's about the content of your heart. I hate to go to Martin Luther King on you, but he said it. He said it's the content of your heart. And that, to me, that means not what you do, whether or not it's predestined or it's your will is a bunch of silly intellectual mumbo jumbo as far as I'm concerned. You know, and it's about what where's your heart? Is he going to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you have had faith in him and that you have lived your life off of that faith?
All right, Caesar, I learned a bunch of things from you. I did not know that KISS meant keep it simple, stupid. That's something. That's very interesting. And my only reservation about your, he's not going to look at our deeds. Well, there you are. He's not going to look at our deeds. He's going to look at our heart. is the phrase, but I like that, but it says we're going to be judged according to our works. It doesn't say our heart. So that's the only little tension I have there. It's going to be judgment according to our deeds. From thence he shall come again to judge the, well, it doesn't say there, it says the quick and the dead, the living. This is a tough subject. I'm grateful the class is willing to wrestle with it. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your one holy Catholic Church all over the world and for the people Israel that your servant Paul is trying to give us a heart for here. Help us to hold these things, your sovereignty and our responsibility together in a faithful way. Now we're walking out into the world. May we love our brothers and sisters. May we be Christians in our hearts, as Caesar is stressing, and in our deeds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.